Above your own. times of joy, in times of peace, in times of sorrow, in times of grief, you're still small voice, oh, it speaks so clearly. When darkness comes and I'm afraid, when I'm alone and lost my way, still your voice, oh, it speaks so clearly. And I will
this morning. If you'd like to come on in and find your seat, stand as you're able, we're going to begin our time of worship. And welcome to all those that are joining online. So glad that you're here and sharing in our Sunday morning service. If you're new here, please fill out the next steps form. And if you'd like to follow along, you can do that. We have available sermon notes, worship set list, next steps, and all that at votrweekly.org. So make sure you check that out. All right, we're going to begin our time of worship. So come, Holy Spirit.
You knew us before our lives began, and you formed us with your loving hands, and now you've drawn us. You've opened up the doors and called us as your own, and we are sons and daughters of the living God. We have been adopted in the Father's love. Know me, know us.
Thank you for your presence here with us. We collectively say we love you and we worship you. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to continue to speak to us this morning through your word. We invite you to draw near to us, God. And we thank you that no matter what we've been going through in the last week, no matter what we went through this morning, that your presence has always been near, that your eyes have always been upon us. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come now, to have your way, and to speak to us clearly this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. You can go ahead and grab a seat. Thanks to everybody tuning in on the live stream as well. So glad that you can join us. My name is Jeff, by the way. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vineyard. If we've never met, if you're in middle school, by the way, you're released right now. You can head over with Chaz and his leadership team. They're going to work just across the hall in the youth and community room for the rest of your service. And for the rest of us who are staying in here, we're in the middle of a series called Wonder Women, which I've loved this series so far. We've been studying some of the powerful and wonderful women of Scripture and asking God to disciple us through their life. And I thought this morning that we could start the message this morning with kind of a modern day Wonder Woman, telling her story a little bit, a woman named Janice Worth. Janice is a brilliant business owner and entrepreneur, but like many, her life has been filled with ups and downs, successes, failures, and pains. And she's continued to walk with Christ really throughout the way. She was orphaned at a young age, taken in by her uncle. And she realized at a younger age than most that life was just going to be wrought with challenge and pain. When many young girls her age would go to soccer practice or ballet class, she would go with her uncle for an all-day gambling extravaganza at the racetracks. In her own words, she would have a Rocky and Bullwinkle lunchbox in one hand and the daily race forms in the other, and she watched time after time after time as her uncle gambled away her own financial security and safety. Because of this, she grew up with the fear that she would simply never have enough, and so to kind of counteract that in her own power and strength, she made an internal vow that if she would just work hard enough and if she could control her own destiny, then at some point she would have enough money and security to make her life well, and everything that she had lost as a child would come back to her as an adult. This pain-inspired drive ultimately helped her for a little while, but then eventually fell short. Initially, it gave her the focus and the control to surpass many of her peers. She graduated high school at the age of 16, went right into college. Immediately after college, she started launching businesses and had early success so she could buy others. By the time she was 28, she ran multiple businesses, started multiple businesses, and it accumulated a fair amount of wealth. But money just never seemed to answer some of the deep questions of her heart. And so she started to explore all kinds of different forms of spirituality. And she was an all-in woman, so she went all-in with witchcraft, and she went all-in with various kind of spiritually dark exercises and experiments. And then ultimately, she got invited to a Bible study. And she admits, like in her story, she was the last person on the last list that you could find of somebody to invite to a Bible study. She was very far from God at this point, but someone in her life invited her to a Bible study at just a small church plant. in Manhattan, started by a new young pastor by the name of Tim Keller. If you don't know Tim Keller, he has gone on to plant many and many churches. He's now one of the more well-respected pastors and theologians in the United States. But this is the church that she kind of walked into. Jana says that she was introduced to this man named Jesus who radically changed her life. But this same Jesus who radically changed her life also had some radical ideas about money. And she started to learn about generosity, and she learned about this Christian term she had never heard before called a tithe, where you give 10% of your income back to God. I'm quoting her now. She said, "When I learned this, I was still enslaved to J.P. Morgan. Ever since I was a child, I worked and I worked and I worked to become secure enough, to have enough, and to ease the fear and pain I had as a child. And now, even as a millionaire, I still had a scarcity mindset. It wasn't until Jesus transformed my heart and taught me about generosity, generosity even beyond tithing, that I realized everything I have is only a tool from God, a tool that I can use to expand the kingdom." Because of this newfound transformation and understanding of kingdom finances, she now leads groups of women from all over the United States that have made a pledge to give 50% of their income away every year and to write generosity into their estate planning and their legacy giving. Money, she says, is only a tool used by God to expand the kingdom. And I love Janice's story, right? From nothing to abundance. And I think even though most of us won't earn in a lifetime what she might earn in a year, I still love her story because I really think it can apply to each and every one of us and everyone watching online as well. Because generosity isn't just an offering. It's not just dropping a check in the box in the back. It's actually a lifestyle that she had cultivated, a lifestyle that had been transformed and shifted little by little over time through the presence and the person of Jesus Christ. And we need God's transformation, especially when it comes to money, because as we look at the culture and we look at the lies and we look at even our own life, money can be used for a lot of different reasons. And in a lot of ways, money is used as a pacifier for our own hearts, and it gives us an illusion of comfort to security. But in the kingdom, it can be used as a tool or a weapon to advance the kingdom of God in powerful, powerful ways. Janice, I think, stands as a modern-day Wonder Woman, especially when it comes to the area of generosity. And it turns out her story is not unique. I was reading Forbes articles about generosity in America this week. Turns out women are pretty consistently outgiving men in our country. Did you know this? On average, men give about 1.8% of their income. I want to get the stats correct. An average American man gives 1.8% of their income, but an average American woman gives over 3.5% of her income. Now, both of those numbers, right, are like shockingly low compared to God's invitation for us as Christians and what to give. But still, women give almost twice as much as men in the United States. Men, we need to pick it up a little bit, right? But and actually, this is not even 21st century. This has been happening for years and years and years. In the times and the life of Jesus, he was always surrounded by women who acted like kingdom financiers, supporting his ministry and creating a way for him to grow his ministry. And it continued in the book of Acts. Women continued to lead the way in generosity for the early church as well. Our Wonder Woman for today then is one of these kingdom financiers, a woman named Lydia, who almost single-handedly provided for Paul's second missionary trip and church planting adventure in the book of Acts. Today's message is titled Lydia the Generous. Lydia the Generous, and you meet her, like I said, in the book of Acts chapter 16, and it's during some of Paul's travels and ministry that you first encounter Lydia. Her introduction is actually quite short, but when you read the way that she's introduced, you can tell that the implications are quite large for us today. I'm going to read from Acts 16, starting in verse 13. "On the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to the riverbank, where we thought people would be meeting for prayer, and we sat down to speak with some women who had gathered there. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshiped God. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart and she accepted what Paul was saying. She was baptized along with other members of her household, and she asked us to be her guests. If you agree that I'm a true believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my home. And she urged us until we agreed. It says Lydia was a merchant of expensive purple cloth. And this is important to point out because it actually provides a fair amount of context for who Lydia was. Purple was incredibly special at this point in the Roman Empire. It really oozed privilege and wealth, power and status. And actually, it's kind of hard to find a modern day equivalent to what purple would have meant for them, to what that would look like today. It might be like driving a Ferrari to our church. Right, which by the way, I don't recommend because of all the potholes out there. Like you might really damage that Ferrari. But that's about as close as I can imagine in terms of what kind of influence that would kind of signify. In fact, for a number of years in the Roman Empire, commoners weren't even allowed to wear the color purple. It was that special. It meant that much to the people of Rome. So Lydia, we know, worked with high-end clientele, and she must have made a fair amount of money doing it, because after giving her life to Christ, we learn that she opened her entire home to Paul and his ministry companions. And in that culture and in that day, that would have meant that she took care of all of their needs. It would have meant housing, food, or anything they needed for their ministry. Her house, in a lot of ways, became their mission base, their church plant, and it would impact the entire city and region. You can't do that. You can't house and you can't be the center of that unless you have a fair amount of wealth to use for the kingdom. And we shouldn't forget that this was a big risk for Lydia, inviting all of these missionaries and all of these apostles and all the people they were traveling with into her home, because in that day and age, it put everything that she had accumulated at risk. Networks and relationships and business partnerships were often tied to worship of the emperor, worship of the pagan gods in various temples throughout the region. And by giving her life to Christ and saying, I'm going to worship Jesus and Jesus alone, all of these relationships that she had developed over time were put at risk. And she was willing to do that. Following Jesus ultimately put all of that at risk for Lydia, but through her life, you learn something about kingdom generosity. Her sacrificial giving was risky, but it wasn't a burden for her. Her generosity wasn't a burden, it was a privilege, it was a partnership. And what was true for Lydia, I think needs to be true for us today, that sacrificial giving isn't a burden, but it's a partnership. So many Christians that I have met today only give to God out of a sense of duty or obligation or burden. And sometimes that's not bad. Like, it's not inherently bad. Sometimes that's where we start. We don't always feel like we want to give. And so we do it out of obedience and responsibility and out of a Christian duty to the Lord. But I think there's a higher calling. I think there's a better understanding. And we see it here in the life of Lydia. We heard about it from the story before in the life of Janus, that our generosity can be more about a partnership with how God is moving in the world around you than just a checkbox to mark off so that you've done your Christian deed. And it is about sacrifice, and it is about surrender. It's also about not letting money into the center of your heart where only Christ should be, but it's more than that. It's truly about joining God in his mission of transforming all things, your finances, the world around you, and leveraging everything you have as a tool for God. And it's from this place of partnership that I think that we can embrace a few calls to action that we see from the life of Lydia. A few calls to action for ourselves. So I want to invite you into a couple of things that we can pull from Lydia's story here this morning. First, like Lydia, I want to invite you to support your church. want to invite you to support your church. I mentioned it earlier, but I think it's worth repeating. She provided for the church. She partnered with God as Paul built the church. And because in her day and age, they most often did that through house churches, we know that Lydia's house and home became the center of the church movement in her region. If you look at verse 15 again, it reads, "If you agree that I'm a true believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my home." And I love this next phrase, "and she urged us until we agreed." Like, you can just tell she's in sales, right? She's not giving up. Like, this just reminded me of my days in sales. We are going to stay persistent until we get an answer. We're going to urge you to come. And of course they did. But the phrase right before that, "come and stay at my home," that phrase has implications. Because what it really means was, come and plant your missions base here. Come and plant your missions base in my home. I'll house you and whoever is with you. I'll finance your mission work and all of your needs. And this is a beautiful thing, because in Lydia, you see, she wanted to be a part of that. She wanted to be a part of what God was doing in that region. It's not a burden for Lydia, but a privilege and a partnership with what God was doing. And I love that it was early on in her faith. Like, she had just been baptized into the faith, and immediately she responded in a generous kind of way, making a way for the kingdom of God to advance in her city. She wasn't trying to calculate the perfect number to give. She wasn't calculating what a perfect tithe would be for her. She wasn't figuring out the best way to get the highest amount of tax write-off through her giving. Right, or negotiating between like net income or gross income, which one do I give from, right? Like, she's just, generosity is just overflowing out of her heart to support God's mission. And today, when you give to this church, I want you to know your generosity has a direct impact on what our church is able to do in this city, in the surrounding areas, but of course the world as well. Just in the last year, in the midst of the uncertainty of a global pandemic, your generosity has allowed us to purchase the warehouse next door. This was a building we used to lease, a building that we stepped away from to steward the finances of the church a little bit better. And when it came up to purchase, we knew that God was creating a way for us to serve youth and young adults and many others in our city and many others in our church in a more dynamic way. Your generosity has allowed us to pay the mortgage off on our main building, which is a phenomenal thing, because that means that every dollar is given is leveraged for the kingdom in a more complete way. And we just took a giant convoy of hope offering above and beyond our normal giving, and 100% of that is given away to those in need. I've been waiting to share what that total number was for this message, because I knew I was going to preach on Lydia for quite some time. So if you're ready to hear those numbers, we've calculated it all. Super excited to share this with everyone here and everyone online. The total number of people participating and the dollars given this year for Convoy of Hope in a global pandemic, I think they're remarkable. 120 partners and $76,789.96. Hey, you guys were a part of that. I love the 96 cents too, right? Like, one day's wage to a T. Perfect. I love it. But this is amazing. This is a powerful offering when we could have shrunk back, right? I was saying this the whole time. In any year, this would be the year to like hoard resources and figure out how to live life. But instead, we demonstrated consistent and ongoing generosity to those around us, around the world, that were in need. And you remember our goals were 125 partners and 85,000. I share that for complete transparency. I got the emails that the goal was too big, that the goal was too small. Turns out we did a phenomenal job. I mean, that goal, I prayed about it. I really tried to hear from the Lord, but I'm going to be honest. In a global pandemic, it was kind of like throwing a dart at a target. Like, God, what's the goal this year? I don't really know. And considering last year we only had 100 givers, and we're up to 120 this year, 20 more partners giving to Convoy, that's amazing. And it just warms, I gotta be honest, it warms my little competitive heart that last year we gave 75,000 and this year we outgave ourselves from a year before. Like, that's really, like, I love that. I will sleep well because of that. But all of this points to who you are. All of this points to who we are as a church and what we stand for. All of this sheds light on the fact that we're beginning to understand this biblical idea that generosity and giving to God isn't just about a burden, it's about a partnership with what he's doing in the world around us. And there's more. There's more to share. I mentioned a few months ago that we started a new partnership with Convoy of Hope in a new country, a country they hadn't yet worked in before, the country of Zimbabwe. And then our giving to date is helping feed over 5,000 families in a country of Zimbabwe right now where starvation and famine could quite literally kill a few million people this year if something isn't done. And we responded to that call. And because of the generosity of this church, that's how many families we're feeding right now in Zimbabwe. They just had a giant food distribution event, and they sent us some pictures that I want to share with you this morning. Just on the slides behind me, you can take a look at a few of the different pictures that we got. You can see the bikes wheeling the rice and beans and oil home, the wheelbarrows stockpiled with food, being a blessing to them. And I think initially, right, like you can see the gifts and the generosity that's being poured out to different folks. But more than anything, what I see, I see Matthew 25. I see the person of Jesus. When he said, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink, I was hungry and you fed me. Right? I see faces of friends and new kingdom relationships that God has opened a door for us at our church to be a part of through our mission partners with Convoy of Hope. That's really what I see. And I can't wait to see how this unfolds over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years and the kind of kingdom relationships that are built and established. This is a special thing that we get to be a part of here. And this is you not embracing the fear of the scarcity mindset, but instead living a generous life and putting your faith into action. Through the story of Lydia, we see that we're called to support the church. And when we rally around that calling, we get to do special things like that together. And listen, if this like isn't your church, if you're new to our church or you're checking us out on the live stream and you have no idea who we are, if you're not ready to call our church home, that's okay. Like, we're strangely relaxed about that here. It's really okay. As long as you're exploring, we're not gonna really press this on you at all. But if you do call the Vineyard Church your home, then I wanna encourage you this morning to think about a few areas of potential growth this morning when it comes to generosity. The first thing that I want to encourage you to do is to start giving. You can start. The scripture says Lydia started right away, that right after she got baptized, she opened her home and she started giving to the church movement of God. And because every dollar impacts what we can do as a church to influence our city and the world around us, you have to know that every dollar is a dollar that moves in the kingdom, is a tool in the kingdom. And I think it's true that very few people, especially if you've never given before, can go from zero to that Christian idea of tithing that Janice talked about in her story overnight, especially if you're living paycheck to paycheck. This might be hard to figure out, and I understand that. I have sympathy for that. If you've never given before, or if you've never been trained or discipled in generosity, I understand that beginning to live a generous life can elicit all kinds of emotions and fear about whether or not God is going to take care of you and provide for you moving forward. But I've also learned in life that valuable things are often challenging, that things of value often cost you something. And so I want to encourage you, if you never have, to start the journey of generosity today and realize that maybe you won't start today where you aim to be in 6 months or 12 months or 18 months or 5 years. After all, this is a journey. It's a journey that we take with Christ. It's a journey that you'll have with him. But I want to encourage you that you'll never get to where you want to be 5 years from now if you don't start today. And maybe today the invitation for some of us is just to start. That might be the first action step, is to start a kingdom partnership. For others who have already learned the the generous lifestyle, the call might be a little different. The encouragement might be a little different this morning. You might be called to grow in your generosity. To grow in your generosity. You can increase your giving. You can grow in your ability to be generous. In Christianity, after all, we talk about wanting to grow in all kinds of different things. Isn't it strange that we talk about wanting to grow in forgiveness and grow in worship and grow in prayer and contemplative experiences and grow in understanding how to hear the voice of God, but once we hit 10%, we're like, we're good. What would it look like if we learned to grow in our generosity as well? I mean, if you've been able to establish a tithing discipline for quite some time, I think that's awesome. I think that's a special thing that's worth celebrating, but I also know that sometimes, in some people that I've engaged with, I know this was true about my own life for a number of years, that when we reach 10%, we can kind of be lulled to sleep with our generosity, assuming that we've reached this kind of apex of Christian giving, when actually God might be inviting us to cultivate an even more generous life. Generosity that goes beyond 10%. You might not have known this, but there's actually a group at our church called the Generosity Collective. It's a group called the Generosity Collective. If you're interested in learning more, you can actually find out more about it at votrweekly.org in the next steps. And its goal is quite simple. There's a variety of different ways it's played out, reducing debt, increasing income, or increasing the amount you give. But the goal is simple, to gather a community of like-minded people who want to outgive themselves every year. And sometimes that marker is hit and sometimes it's not, but it's a community where we keep each other accountable to lean into more and more generosity every year we live. And many families are a part of that kind of lifestyle. My wife and I have committed to that kind of lifestyle. And when you make that kind of commitment, the truth is sometimes you get stretched. Sometimes you have to learn how to use your finances in a different kind of way if you want to continue to grow in generosity. Sometimes you get stretched, but it's been an amazing thing to be a part of and watch God continue to create a way for us moving forward. We also have folks in our church who grow their generosity through unique giving and unique gifts. Giving from unexpected incomes like a bonus or an inheritance, giving through stock options or even legacy gifts. We have a number of people in our church who have written generous practices into their will to this church, to other nonprofits, because they want to be generous for years and years, even after they die and go to heaven. These are special, unique things where God has clearly gotten a hold of people's hearts and transformed them, just like Janice's story, just like the story of Lydia. All of these ideas point back to what Lydia showed us, that immediately after giving her life to Christ, she started leaning into a generous lifestyle, one that wasn't marked by a burden-driven generosity, but a partnership in the kingdom of God. Some of us are going to be called to start giving. Some of us may be called to increase our giving. That's kind of in the support your church reality that we learned from Lydia. But there's a second thing I think we can pick up from Lydia that I want to share this morning. It's a call to support your people. To support your church, yes, but also to support your people. Here's what I mean. Again, from the same phrase in verse 15, she says, "Come and be my guest." Lydia was demonstrating that she's not just giving to an organization, she's not just giving to a church planting movement in the life of Paul, but she's giving to real people, real faces, real individuals with real names of folks that God had placed in her life. She was supporting the church, but she was also supporting her newfound people. And so I think the question that we need to wrestle with this morning is, who are our people? Who are your people? Who has God placed in your life? Who has God placed in your life that might be unique compared to who God's placed in my life? It could be a neighbor or a coworker, a family member or a friend. It could even be the person down the road that you don't really like that much, but for whatever reason, God's placed them in your life. And it could be because he's calling you to take a line from the life of Lydia and implement that in your life and begin supporting the people that God has placed around you. And I'm not saying, like, take care of everything for them. I'm not saying do everything for them. I'm talking about supporting them and empowering them and giving to them in a radically generous kind of way, because God is radically generous when it comes to him giving to us. There might be people in your life right now that need help with rent or groceries or medical bills. There might be people in your life that you could bless with an amazing graduation gift or an amazing wedding gift. You might be able to babysit their kids for free so that they can go out on a date and just connect as a married couple. These are things that you can do in ways that you can be generous to the people that God has placed in your life, as well as the church. Lydia did this in extravagant ways. She cared for Paul, but you can learn from Scripture that it was more than just Paul. If you read the verses preceding the text that I wrote or read in verse 13 to 16, you see that Paul was traveling with Silas, with Timothy. We know from Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, that Luke was probably traveling with Paul as well. And there's a good chance that they were traveling with family members and in even a group that's larger than that. These are the only folks that were named. And Scripture says that she provided for their church planting movement, but also for all of them. So who's God placed in your life that you can support? Who is God placed over the years, or maybe a newfound relationship? And what would it look like if you started to personally bless them and personally support them? Now, I realize that some of you may want to stay anonymous when you do that. I realize that some of you may not even know who to give to or what kind of needs are out there. And if that's your case, then I want to say that's potentially where the Impact Fund comes in at our church. The Impact Fund is a giving drop-down option when you go to give online, and 100% of what you give to the Impact Fund gets given to people in our church community who are in need. People who've been adversely impacted by COVID-19, people who have lost jobs, people who are struggling to make ends meet. And because of your generosity to that Impact Fund, we've helped single moms get cars. We've helped pay for rent and groceries when people were out of luck. We've been able to come alongside all kinds of different folks and help them in a significant way. And it's because of your generosity over the years that we've been able to do that. We have a rich history of that here at the Vineyard. And we've proven it time and time again that not only will we support the church, but we will also support the people that God has placed in our lives. And I want to encourage you and thank you for the ways that you've done that. Not only over the years, but also in 2020, in a year where it's been maybe more challenging to do that. I want to close with a thought and a quote this morning. As I wrestle with some of these things, as I look at the life of Lydia, it dawns on me that if we want to become more like Lydia the generous, if we want to lean into this a bit more and become kingdom financiers in our own lives, we might need to start giving enough that we notice it in our lives. We might have to give in a way that requires sacrifice. And 10%, like, that's probably a sacrifice for many of us in this room, but for others, we might not notice it at 10%. We might not feel it at 10%. But even if you like simply think about the math, every dollar you give is a dollar that you're not going to spend on yourself. And so even in and of that self, you are experiencing sacrifice when you walk in generosity in that kind of way. But for some of us, it might actually mean giving in a way that some of our own wants and desires get delayed a little bit. Not necessarily eliminated, not necessarily forgotten about, but maybe just delayed. Like, if you want to partner with God in this kind of way, it might take a few more pay periods or paychecks to get what you naturally want and desire, because you're also giving more as you go through the journey. I mean, Lydia, if you think about her life, we know this as the journey continued with Paul, but also from extra-biblical texts, that Lydia didn't go from an influential merchant of purple to the poorhouse because she gave so much. That wouldn't have been good for Lydia. It wouldn't have been good for the financing of the early church. God had created Lydia to earn money, and she needed to utilize the gifts that God had given her so that she could continue to finance Paul's ministry. She knew how to earn money. But even still, you know that she felt the giving. You know that that was still a sacrifice for her. Because again, every dollar she gave was a dollar she didn't use on her own household. Every time she gave up a room, every time she fed them with a meal, she was sacrificing from her own heart to generously care for those that God placed in her path. Lydia was absolutely a wonder woman when it came to generosity, and her entire household got to watch this in action. She reminds me of a quote from a book on revolutionary generosity called Disruptive Compassion. If you've never read Disruptive Compassion, I'm pretty sure I can get you a copy because the co-author attends our church. Kirk Noonan helped write the book, works for Convoy of Hope, and this is what he wrote when it comes to revolutionary generosity. He said, revolutionary givers see their hard-earned resources not as theirs to squander, but rather as theirs to spend wisely or steward well. They may work 60-hour weeks so they can give more away. They walk the walk. Don't hoard treasure down here, Jesus said. Stockpile treasure in heaven. When you make a commitment to give radically like Lydia, when you allow Jesus to transform your heart like the story from the life of Janice, or when you begin to move and shift from an owner mindset to a steward mindset like Kirk wrote, you'll feel it. You'll feel that sacrifice. That money doesn't magically come back to you once you've given it away, but when you give, the Bible makes it incredibly clear that you are joining God's mission in transforming all things. You're going beyond a burdensome response to the gospel, and you're entering in to a partnership with God's kingdom. And this is our calling. As Christians, this is what we're called to do, to join God, to partner with what he's doing in the world around us, and to live freely and generously with our finances as a tool to advance the kingdom. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your presence here with us. Thank you that you are here with us right now speaking to us as we explore Lydia's life in Acts 16. Thank you that you are speaking to everybody who's tuning in with the live stream right now as we gather online. God, I pray that you would speak to us about how we can live into a lifestyle of generosity. Help us to respond to what you're saying to us this morning in a holy kind of way, partnering with you in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, here at the Vineyard, after every message, we always create an opportunity for you to just sit quietly with God and kind of reflect on everything that you've just heard. And we do this, we just know that as we go about our lives in our culture, it's easy to just rush from one thing to the next. So we want to intentionally create space in church to slow down and connect with God. So we're just going to draw the lights down a little bit. The band is going to quietly play, but they won't sing any songs. And we just want to create an atmosphere where you can pray and sit with God. There's a couple of different things I might invite you to consider during this time. To just prayerfully reflect and maybe ask God if he has something for you. Maybe he's inviting you to start giving. Maybe he's going to invite you to increase your giving. Or maybe he's going to highlight certain people in your life that he wants you to support. You can also open up your phones and go to votrweekly.org and go to the next steps. If you go to votrweekly.org, scroll to the bottom, you'll see next steps. And there you can scroll down to a couple of different things you can sign up for. If you click on those, I'll get notified and I'll just shoot you an email on Tuesday or Wednesday to encourage you as you follow God throughout your week. And there's also a section where you can write in prayer requests or celebrations. And we have found this is really important for us right now in kind of our fragmented community lives during COVID to stay present and to stay asking for prayer and celebrating. All those prayer requests stay anonymous, but our staff commits to praying for them over the course of the next week. And so we would invite you to do that as well. But let me just invite God to speak to you during this time of reflection before we give you a few moments. God, would you come right now? And as we quiet our minds and quiet our hearts and sit before you, would you speak to us? Would you help us to respond privately in ways that you are inviting us to do? I'll be back up in a few moments to lead us into a time of ministry and response. Let's stand together. In addition to that space we create for quiet prayer and reflection, we always create an opportunity for you to actively respond and even collectively respond to God as well. We do that in a variety of ways here at the Vineyard. Our team is back up, and so we would invite you to lift your voices in worship, to respond to God through singing praise and worship to Him. If you came prepared to give as an act of worship, you can do that online or in the boxes in the back. You can also do that with the Give Now button if you're tuning in with our live stream this morning. And every Sunday, we always create an opportunity for you to receive prayer. And so if you're on the prayer team, can you just kind of come forward and make your way around the stage ready to receive anybody who may want prayer this morning? If you're tuning in with us online, you can click that live prayer button. One of our staff members will be ready to pray with you live this morning as well. But we do this every Sunday because we really feel like we want to create space for you to encounter God. We don't want to just talk about it. We also want to create space for you to experience the Lord, experience ministry from Him if that's what you need this morning. And I realize that sometimes it might be uncomfortable to like come forward where the room can see that you're coming forward for prayer, but this is part of our discipleship, right? This is part of our journey with Christ saying, hey, I actually need prayer in this area of my life and I'm willing to come forward for it, trusting that God will move as I respond in faith. And so you can come forward for prayer for anything that you might be going through in your life right now. Maybe there's a specific prayer request that just come up over the last week that you want God to cover you and bless you with. Maybe there's a relationship that needs to be healed. Maybe you personally need to be healed. and you want prayer for that. Specifically though, tied to this message, I feel like there might be a couple of invitations for some of us either here in person or online. I think for some of us actually, God is inviting us to start giving, or God is inviting us to maybe increase our giving. And fear is getting in the way of that, and we just want to pray for you if that's you, asking God to give you the courage to step forward with that. Maybe there's some of us that actually need a job, like we've come in jobless, and we just need prayer that God would open up a door for us to be employed so that we can earn money and pay for our own bills, but also so that we can partner with God in generosity and kingdom financing. And then I think there might be some of us in this room or online that are, like Lydia, uniquely wired to earn money. Like for whatever reason, God has just blessed you, or you think he's going to bless you with the ability to just earn money. And that is not something that we should be ashamed of. That is something that we can celebrate in the church, because in Lydia, we see what can happen. When somebody gets promoted, we see what can happen when somebody can earn in the kingdom. They can give in the kingdom. And God might just want to bless you with something unforeseen this morning. If that's you, we would love to pray for you as well. But let me pray over the room, and then we can respond as God leads this morning. Holy Spirit, would you come right now? I mean, God, we know that you are here with us already, but we invite you to move in our hearts and in our lives. We stand before you. We surrender to you. And we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come forward for prayer? Let's worship together, and in a few songs, I'll be back up to close the service this morning. come to you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the ways that you've transformed us, and we thank you for the ways that you are transforming us. Now, God, as we worship you, as we receive your love, would you help us to go and be beacons of light to the world around us? Would you help us to usher in peace this week, especially as we know people will be anxious and stressed about what's to come? God, would you help us to live in the freedom that you have offered to us, and help us to freely give that away to those you place in our path? Thank you, Lord, for the ways you've been generous to us. Now help us to be generous back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. Have a great Sunday and a great start to your week. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.
Thank you.